Blog Talk Radio.
Hey there, truckers. Welcome to Redneckinize, all things trucking and then some. Hope you enjoy the show.
Highway, and I ain't forgot her yet, but I'm... Cup of coffee, 500 cigarettes, 1,000 miles of highway, and I ain't forgot her yet, but I'll keep on moving. I keep moving down the line. There ain't nothing in my mirror, just a cloud of dust and smoke. What do you expect if some old trucker's heart gets broke? Yeah, truckers' hearts get broke. But them big wheels of rubber gonna rubber off of my mind. Well, I'm a highway junkie and I need that old white line. 10 miles out of Nashville, I was doing 101. The same boy pulled me over, he said, where's the fire, son? Yeah, where's the fire, son? I said, man, there ain't no fire. I'm just running from a flame. Going right to Tiggy, man, but I ain't the one to blame. That county judge tried to rob me blind. Them big wheels
rubber. Hey, what's going on, everybody? Hey, this is Ed with Redneck and Eyes Radio. Glad you're joining along. Give us a call, 515-602-9731. Appreciate everybody joining along this Wednesday. Hump day. Guess what day it is? Go, Mike. Guess what day it is? It's hump day. February 15th, the day after Valentine's Day. It's the morning after pill for maybe some people. I don't know. You think that there's not a lot going on. One thing I will say, so I follow a lot of podcasts and a lot of things going on. And I don't know. It was some interesting stuff about Valentine's Day that I thought was pretty interesting from other perspectives. And maybe we can talk about it a little bit. I don't know. But check it out. Like I said, redneckandeyes.com is our website. Appreciate everybody joining along. Don't forget to go thank all of our great sponsors. One of the great sponsors I'd like to mention is DPF Regeneration. Those are the guys that do all of the parts for all of your particulate filters, SCR units. If you've got DEF, if you need DEF, they won't get you DEF, but they can definitely fix it if you're having any troubles with those systems. So give them a call, 800-634-3010. That's DPFRegeneration.com. Appreciate everything that DPF Regeneration does for Redneck and Eyes. So check them out. And like I said, you can get their links to their website on our website, redneckandeyes.com, where you can subscribe to our YouTube channel, check out a lot of our latest, you know, we got some videos, safety videos, stuff like that, things going on for that kind of stuff. And then you can check out, like, we got some videos that are for the four-wheelers, like directed to the four-wheelers on how to drive around big trucks. And I thought, I just think those are pretty cool videos, and they've been getting some positive responses. But our number one video, it gets watched every day. It is just explaining the interlocking differential. And that is, I mean, I don't know about y'all, but I mean, I remember hearing about five different scenarios or explanations on how it works, and none of them were right. And then once you figure it out, it like makes perfect sense and it's awesome. So explaining it, breaking it down, understanding it is a big thing. You know, the guy at the truck driving school, you know, he goes, you know, you say, you know, what's this locking differential? What does that mean? Oh, you don't hit that till you get stuck, which is completely wrong. You always want to anticipate. That's what makes a good truck driver, is anticipating that you might get stuck. So you always want to flip it before you get in the scenario, because what you don't want to do is get into a spin out situation, because they're not going to help you. Once you engage it, it's really not going to help you in a spin out, because if you're one axle, let's say that you're I mean, what it boils down to is a lot of times if you get into a spin out, it's because one wheel is off the ground or one, you know, one set of duals is off the ground. Well, if you flick it, it's not going to help you. It's not really, you know, what it might do is it might trigger the other axle's wheel to spin. So what it does is that it puts equal power between the two axles instead of just whatever axle is the freest, right? And that's how we get high centered and all that. So we want to click it. You know, getting high centered actually would help you. But if one wheel comes off the ground, it might not help you. It all depends. A lot of times you hear the new technology when they've got the sensors to do everything. You hear like a lot of air, you know, going in the axle trying to get it to spin. If there's a spin out, because it's got the system, it's got a computer sensor in there for where you're, if you're going down the road and you start spinning, you know, it's got traction control is pretty much what it is. And that's, and that, so that kind of, I don't know if it engages it or not. That I don't know because I'm not an engineer and I don't really understand how the traction control works in conjunction with that. But it does. You hear it every now and then try to turn to, or do you hear air going, try to get it to stop spinning is what it's trying to do, I think. So yeah, that's on our YouTube channel. So please go subscribe to YouTube channel. But anyway, check us out, redneckandeyes.com. We'll see you guys in a minute. Lots to talk about. Here we go.
This week's episode is sponsored by LTR Transportation. Come be part of a great carrier celebrating a new year with new trucks and new growth. Check them out at ltrtransportation.com or give them a call at 720-277-0030. Thank you, LTR, for being supporter of Redneckinize. Redneckinize, common sense solutions for an uncommon world.
Now you're the bandit on the run, not a bad guy, just having fun. Still riding hard beneath those western skies. If there's an ambush up ahead, and you see Smokey's lights flashing red, remember Trigger and me will be by your side. Ride, concrete cowboy, ride. The open highway is your lane. Ten for little buckaroo and happy trails to you. Ride, concrete cowboy, ride.
All those bad guys that I faced at the Saturday matinee, you and me and a million saddle pals, with a never empty gun, we kept those outlaws on the run. Remember how we fought and rode until we had them all corralled. So ride, country cowboy, ride. The open highway is your day. 10-4 little buckaroo. And happy, happy trails to you. Ride, country cowboy, ride. Ride, country cowboy, ride.
The dark and distant drumming, the pounding of the hooves, the silence of everything that moves. Late at night you see them, decked out in shiny jewels, the coming of the caravan of fools. Like the wings of a dove, the waiter's white glove seems to shimmer by the light of the pool. Some dull, blinding winter, when you can't help but lose, you're running with the caravan of fools. Love and devotion, deep as any ocean, don't play by anybody's rules. With your carousel of horses and your unfortunate.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. Hey, this is Dave with Redneck and Eyes Radio. Give us a call, 515-602-9731. Appreciate everybody joining along. And we're just getting through some things. I was reading up on some stuff going on. So yesterday we talked about the accident out in Arizona. It was nitric acid that was leaking everywhere. And so we got a few updates. USA Today, this was posted an hour ago. And we might have a little video here. I don't know. See what happens. Let them do their little ads. It says, one dead after hazardous nitric acid spill on the highway after truck hauling. It crashes. And the driver, I think, is the one who passed away. Says a truck hauling nitric acid crashed and spilled the hazardous material in the interstate. See that? Oh, this is just, we can mute it. And that's just a video. I can see the video of the pictures and stuff. And it says that acid can damage people's skin, eyes, and mucous membranes if exposed. Says the chemical leak prompted shelter in place for a 3-mile perimeter with some evacuations. And a lot of videos where you can see like yellow and orange smoke coming out of the trailer. So the truck driver died sometime after the accident. Not real sure if it was because of that exposure or not. And see, that was just off of that. USA Today, that's just, they ain't helping me none. But, see, CDL Life had an article posted about it. The Guardian, Arizona highway closes after nitric acid leak. That was 8 hours ago. And it says residents near the deadly accident on Interstate 10 outside Tucson told to evacuate on Tuesday. Said the deadly crash of the commercial tanker. It's not a tanker. It's just a truck. It was a van, a Landstar van. There might have been the totes. You know, we've done it a lot. I used to work for Landstar, and that was a big thing for Landstar to haul those totes, as always, because it was hazmat, and most drivers that haul for a Landstar are required to have hazmat, so it's all hazmat stuff. So the deadly crash of the commercial tanker truck, which is not right, caused hazardous material to leak onto Interstate 10 outside Tucson on Tuesday, shutting down the key highway through Arizona and forcing evacuations near the accidents. It says that residents within a half a mile, 800 meters, were ordered to leave, and those within a mile were told to shelter in place. For several hours after the liquid nitric acid was determined to be leaking from the tanker. So again, it's a van, but I guess there were totes inside there. So the Arizona Department of Public Safety said the Tuesday afternoon accident happened on the stretch of I-10 southeast of downtown Tucson. Shelter in place order was lifted on Tuesday night, but those who have already been evacuated will remain evacuated, state agency said. The driver of the truck was killed, the department said. Few others details were released. The agency warned motorists in the area to anticipate impacts on their Wednesday morning commutes in and around I-10. This will be an extended closure, it said in a tweet on Tuesday evening. The University of Arizona Tech Parks was among the areas evacuated. Some school children in Rita Ranch sheltered in place, the Arizona Daily Star reported. Nitric acid is used to make ammonium nitrate for fertilizers and in the manufacture of plastics and dyes. The Federal Centers of Disease Control and Prevention says nitric acid is a highly corrosive, colorless liquid with yellow to red fumes and can cause an acrid smell. It says exposure to nitric acid can irritate the eyes, skin, and mucous membranes depending on the dosage. It also can delayed pulmonary edema, and then it's like bronchitis and dental erosion. Damn. It says, yep, and that's it on that one. That's from The Guardian. Yeah. See, Arizona DOT tweeted, and they got a map here, looks like. Let's see, might have to scroll on down here, see what they got. No. No, not that one. See if we can be directed to it. There we go. Says I-10 eastbound is closed near Tucson. So eastbound is closed. So that's if you're heading toward Texas, heading toward New Mexico, it's closed. And it is the closure is due to the crash off of Craycroft Road. Traffic is being taken off at Craycroft. Motorists are advised to expect delays and seek an alternative route. There is no estimated time to reopen the highway. And that's as of 9:45 this morning. There's a separate eastbound closed at Craycroft due to the separate crash. Eastbound remains closed. Westbound is closed at Houghton Road from other crash. Somebody was asking about that. No, you can't really tell from that map. But anyway, that's the latest going on. We don't really know any kind of other details of the cause or anything that happened to that. The driver's passed away, so we won't really hear from him about what he, you know, saw or did or whatever. Other than that, there's no really anything new. Let's see, for the New York U-Haul rampage, it says victims of truck rampage grapple with injuries. I get that. Would you quit? As suspect is charged. And I guess they're saying that the guy that took the U-Haul was a homeless guy. This says here, it says, I thought they arrested him, but this here is a Yiji Yi who was killed in Brooklyn. Had worked his way up from collecting cans to bringing New Yorkers food. A man faces a second-degree murder charge in his death. Says Mohammed I can't thank that one. It says, I had just parked his car in Bay Bridge, Brooklyn, about 11 a.m. Monday, and was ambling down the sidewalk, glued to his phone as he headed to meet a friend on the next block. He had just returned from Egypt and was watching a live feed of his sister's sick room there as nurses and doctors did their work. As he got closer to the intersection of 3rd Avenue and 72nd Street, he glanced up. A U-Haul truck was hurling straight forward toward him. He says, it was a second, 2 seconds, 3 seconds, he said in an interview Wednesday. No time to think about anything. Muhammad, age 66, jumped out of the path of the speeding truck, but not before his right ankle was hit. He landed on his side, injured his head, neck, knee, and ribs. He says, I'm shocked. I'm still alive, he said. He also was the last of 8 people on foot, bikes and mopeds and electric bikes, who were struck by the driver barreling down sidewalks. He says, sidewalks and roads in Bay Bridge, Brooklyn. During the hour he drove through the area, leaving devastation in his wake, a police officer was also injured. One of those hit Yi Ji Yi, 44, died from his injuries Monday. Says the police did not name the victim, but Mr. Yi was identified by his cousin, Michael Chin, and another victim, Mohammed Zakaria, age 36, who was in a medically induced coma, was identified by his wife. On Wednesday, the driver, Wang Soar, was arraigned in a Brooklyn courtroom on charges of second degree murder, attempted murder, and assault. Mr. Soar, wearing a leather jacket and camouflage pants with his hands cuffed behind the back, stood hunched with his head down. He avoided eye contact throughout the hearings as 4 officers surrounded him. A prosecutor, David Engel, argued that Mr. Soar should be held in jail, telling a criminal court judge that Mr. Soar told investigators that he wanted to hit those people. Because I wanted to end by taking out enemies, Mr. Soar said, according to Mr. Engel, who's also said that he told officers, shoot me, I will not give in. Said Mr. Soar's defense attorney, Andrew Friedman of Brooklyn Defender Services, did not fight jailing Mr. Soar, but asked that the judge order a mental health evaluation for him. The judge, Joshua Glick, did so and ordered that Mr. Soar he held until his next hearing in March. Says, as the case began winding through the legal system, victims and families grappled with the aftermath of Monday's rampage. From time to time that Mr. Yi moved to the United States from China about 18 years ago, he did whatever he could to provide for his 3 teenage children, twin boys and a girl. A single parent, he collected cans with his mother and his neighbors in Brooklyn. His neighbors in Brooklyn said, until he saved enough to buy a bike and started delivering food about 3 years ago. What did I say about this? Oh, yeah, that's Mr. Yi. Okay. I was going to say, the culprit, Soar, he's 62. I was trying to figure out, because I was talking to somebody the other day. Okay, so we got, I don't know, it just seems to me that, I mean, I don't know the culprits, the suspect. I don't know his nationality, but when I saw that the Asian guy out there in California, I thought in China's doing some crazy stuff with Taiwan and the balloons and all that. I thought maybe China's might be stepping up their game a little bit. They're stepping up something. They're getting ready to do something. That's what I thought, that they were activating these people, you know, in the United States that they've probably had planted. To me, I think that there's probably a lot of people. You know, remember how the KGB had everybody, you know, I mean, there was rumors that had, and now we got a TV show about it and all that. I just think that the Chinese are just doing that really well because they're so disciplined with that stuff. So that's all I was thinking about that and wondering if this guy here was actually Chinese too. Or, you know, I don't even know where they're all from. I just, you know, you just assume. But I was just wondering if that was the case. It just seems to me that there's a lot going on from China right now. and wouldn't surprise me none. The other one I wanted to talk about, because a couple of reports last night were talking about the shooting up in Michigan. Michigan State. There you go. So, of course, we got a left and right thing here because this is a shooting. And Joe Biden already came out and said, well, you got to ban all assault weapons. Well, he used a pistol. He used a handgun. So banning assault weapons wouldn't have stopped this. But one of the other things was, and I'm trying to see if I can find a more accurate, like, unbiased toward certain, because you know what's going to happen. Here's what I say about media all the time. When people try to argue with me about the bias and unbiased and all that, I'm not saying they're lying. I'm saying they're not giving you the full story. They're making the story seem like it's coming from a certain perspective because they just choose to not report certain things. Okay? I mean, the right does it too. Okay? They're going to choose certain things as well. Okay? You know, when you try to you can blame guns on certain circumstances, but more than commonly, it's more of a mental health or legal issues. So when you see that the guy wasn't crazy, the guy was evil, you know, when you have no excuse other than it was just a bad guy doing things with a gun, you never would have stopped him. Just like the guy that did the Vegas thing, he never had any kind of like red flags that I can remember saying. But, you know, everybody wants to ban all of those things. And that's why you had Trump come out and ban those bump stocks, because, you know, everybody wants to do something. You know, and then that they found out he used a bump stock, so they banned it. And now, they're trying to sue that you can't just ban anything you want like that because it had nothing to do with, you know, the operation of the gun. It's the way they make them, kind of thing, right? But that was just an evil person, you know, an evil stopping evil is really hard to do when they hide so well among us. So it's just evil. You can't punish the world because you're trying to stop people from doing evil things, because you just never know. You never know who is going to be evil or not, who's going to do bad things or not. You never know, you know. But when they do show themselves to be either crazy or a criminal activity, and you can stop them before they actually do it, a lot of circumstances. And this circumstance here is that the shooter in Michigan State, they said he had a history. And so that's what I was trying to investigate here is about the suspect. Let me go back and do another Google search. Let's see. Let's do that. Let me put that guy's name on there. It says video show MSU shooting suspect Anthony McRae, 2019 arrest. So, yeah, okay, so here's what it is. It says body cam footage shows 2019 arrest of Michigan State shooting suspect Anthony McRae. And it says video footage of the 2019 interaction between law enforcement and the man that police say carried out the mass shooting in Michigan State University this week provides an additional information about the previous weapons-related charge that could have prevented the man from ever again legally owning a gun. So here's what happened. He got arrested, and then it says body cam footage 2019 obtained by Free Press through a State Freedom Information Act request points to the issue a defense lawyer raised at the time about that detention. Originally charged with a felony, McRae's lawyer and prosecutors agreed to a plea deal on a misdemeanor charge. A felony gun conviction in Michigan bans future gun ownership, but a misdemeanor does not. Now, Ingram County Prosecutor John Drain told the Free Press on Tuesday, says MSU police say McRae, okay, so he said that. He said, They gave him a misdemeanor, not a felony, and that's what the prosecutor said on Tuesday. Says MSU police say McRae on Monday night killed 3 university students and wounded 5 others in a shooting spree. McRae killed himself before officers could detain him, police said, following an hours-long manhunt that left the university and East Lansing communities on edge. Says law enforcement officials have not released any information about the gun used in the MSU shooting or any possible motive behind the attack. Video of the 2019 arrest sheds light on McCray's previous interaction with law enforcement, the type of gun he owned at one point, his justification at the time for owning the gun, and why prosecutors may have ultimately agreed to a misdemeanor plea deal. This is Detroit Free Press. In the video, officer drives into a parking lot on the 2600 block of Northeast Street in Lansing. He would later say he was patrolling the area after reports of burglaries in other nearby businesses. McCray is sitting on the steps outside a building. It's very early in the morning and dark outside, and the officer approaches McCray, who stands. He goes, how you doing? What's the word? Man, you work here? The officer asks McCray. McCray says he does not. Standing, the video shows he's holding what appears to be a cell phone and cigarette in his right hand. Says, I normally come here, McCray starts to say, reaching his right hand into his left breast pocket of his jacket. The officer interrupts him, says, do you have any weapons on you? And the guy, McCray says, huh? And responds, pulling a pack of cigarettes in his breast pocket with his right hand. Says, do you have any weapons on you or anything like that? The officer asks. He says he does, a .380 handgun. Officer immediately detains McCray, handcuffing him behind his back. Ultimately, McCray is arrested on a felony charge of carrying a concealed weapon without a permit. It's a felony with a possible punishment of up to 5 years in prison, but McCray's lawyer would later argue that police had no cause to detain his client, arguing the arrest would resulted from an unconstitutional stop and frisk. Okay. So, in Texas, it doesn't matter. Okay? If you're carrying, and, well, see, now, you know what? I don't know the law now, but when I went through the class and I took the concealed carry class, okay, you're supposed, I mean, the reason why you're given a license to carry is because you're agreeing to cooperate with law enforcement in the area. So that means that when you, and you see it a lot of times, one guy, I don't know if you saw the video one time, these two guys were like messing around. They were doing something bad and they were trying to steal something or whatever. And the guy stopped them at gunpoint, right? And he held a gun on them. Now, when the police showed up, as soon as the police pulled up and got out of the car, he immediately put the gun on the ground, raised his hands and said, you know, these guys are here. I'm here. And he acted like I'm surrendering and all that. And that's pretty much, you know, what you're doing is that as a law-abiding gun owning citizen, when police show up, you're letting them take control of the situation. You're not in control. That you allow them to be in control. So in the state of Texas, if a cop walks up to you and says, are you armed? Are you carrying? And if you have a license to carry and you are carrying, then you're supposed to agree. Yes, I immediately do. And you present it to them and you show them the license, all that stuff. It's allowing them to be. So for this guy to say, you know, you're standing there. He's, you know, got, he's reaching into his pocket. Okay. Well, to me, it's already, I'm assuming you're doing something bad until you can prove to me you're doing something wrong. So, I mean, basically, I mean, come on. I mean, that's, I don't want the guy to be beat. I don't want the guy to get arrested. But if he has a gun and he's supposed to have a permit, but doesn't matter. I don't care. You know, and no, it doesn't matter, in my opinion. I could be wrong, but in my opinion is that if there is a law that says that if you cannot carry without a permit, and you are carrying without a permit, and you're out there, you know, I mean, he's up to no good at what, 3 o'clock in the morning? And he says, are you armed? And he's like, yes, I am. Okay, well then show me your permit. I don't have a permit. Boom, you're done. Okay, felony. And they have pleaded down, unconstitutional stop and frisk. And it's not really an unconstitutional stop and frisk. If there was a phone call, a 911 call reporting about burglars in the area, and you see somebody sitting out there at 3 o'clock in the morning on the footsteps of a business that he doesn't work at, you work here? No. All right, so then why are you here? Right? And the video's still playing. I'm not listening to it or watching it or anything like that. But, I mean, it's nothing bad going on. They're just talking to the guy. But it says, So it says here, the officer lacked reasonable suspicion needed to even question defendant about possessing any illegal weapons or to detain him. No, I don't think he did. I think, you know, to me, the prosecutor should have said, no, he was there at 3 o'clock in the morning and he asked, do you work here? No, I don't. You know, what do you, you know, basically, and the only reason why he didn't get any information before asking if he had any weapons is because he reached into his jacket. He says, in a court motion calling for the seizure of the gun to be tossed from the case, McCray was not free to leave while officer questioned and detained him. The conduct amounted to a seizure requiring probable cause. I'll tell you what, this is a good lawyer. He says, lacked reasonable cause to seize Mr. McCray and alleged pistol must be suppressed. It says, in response, prosecutors argued, he acted appropriately. The officer acted appropriately. In a separate motion, prosecutors said that the time that the officer made contact with McCray, he was reaching for his pocket where the weapon was later found. Prosecutors cite the body camera footage as evidence of this. McCray's gun was found in his front left coat pocket. According to the arrest report, video obtained by the Free Press shows he was asked, McCray, whether he had any weapons. He is reaching into the left breast pocket of his coat with his right hand. While McCray's left hand is not in every frame of the video at this point in the encounter, a cigarette and what appears to be a cell phone are visible in that hand seconds before the officer asks whether he is armed. So he's got a cell phone in his left hand and he reaches into his left pocket with his right hand. And so he pulls out a pack of cigarettes. McCray's coat has multiple pockets as seen in the video. It's unclear whether the front left coat pocket and his breast pocket are the same spot. I mean, again, to me, it all depends on how the gun law is in, because in the state of Texas, if you're armed, you're supposed to immediately, you know, and we have a constitutional carry here now, so it doesn't even matter. You know, I mean, I think because the law was so strict in license to carry, the constitutional carry is as long as you're legal to do so, which means if you're a felon, you still can't have a firearm. So if you have a firearm and of course, to me, the whole, you know, doing anything wrong or, you know, cop come up and ask you, when it comes to firearms, I think we need to, this is one of the gives that we have to give as Second Amendment people. Okay. We need to agree to work with law enforcement when it comes to this thing. If you have a firearm on you, you need to make sure that the law enforcement knows and says, hey, listen, you know, I'm carrying, you know, it's in my pocket. You know, if you want me to pull it out or give it to you, you know, I will. And I think it's one of those things where we need to communicate that to law enforcement as law abiding gun owning citizens. I think that, and I agree that a lot of cops, we can't trust them, which means I don't want to interact with them as much as I need to. You know, it's like, let's try to stay away from interacting with the police as least as possible. But what are you going to do? You know, when that happens, you need to communicate and say you're in charge. And if they've got body cams, it's like automatically, I want to see that they have a body. If they have a body cam, I'm going to talk right into that body cam and say, I'm not resisting you. You know, we're talking here. You know, I am carrying. Here's my firearm. You can have it. Whatever you need to do, it's all on video. And maybe we should have our own body cams when that happens. But I mean, you're always going to have people fighting against it. So we got to give a little, but we're slowly, slowly making edges toward being okay. You know, constitutional carry is more common now because of what we've done with stats and, you know, data points and all that. And of course, you know, that's what we got to do is we got to work with law enforcement because the law and law enforcement is pro gun. Okay. And don't ever assume that all law enforcement is not. Most law enforcement is pro Second Amendment. Some of them aren't because they're not educated, and some of them just aren't because of what they deal with. you know, so just watch out for that. So this was brought up the other night, was that when he was arrested back in 2019, there was a gun charge, which means that he could have had his gun privileges, owning a firearm privileges, taken away, which may not have stopped him, but at least we would have known that he shouldn't have had that gun. But now we're seeing that, you know, it was okay for him to still have that gun, you know. So let's talk about that, or think about, you know, what could have been done. You know, did you have a lazy prosecutor or a really good defense attorney, or was it legit? And I mean, I don't know, you can make the case, but I don't think so. I think we could have charged him with a felony on that, because if that's the law, and that's the thing, is that, you know, if you're actually trying to follow the law, and I know I feel real bad for people that want to, you know, it's like, I'd rather be tried by 12 than carried by 6 or whatever. But here's the thing. Well, first off, let's break it on down. Okay. Law-abiding citizen probably wouldn't be out where they probably, he didn't work there. What was he doing? Right. So law-abiding citizen wouldn't have been out at 3 o'clock in the morning somewhere they shouldn't have been. Right. And they probably wouldn't have been carrying, you know, so far away. You know, did he have a car? Did he have, you know, was he going anywhere? What it, that kind of thing. You know what I'm saying? So really what it boils down to is that we need to understand we don't need to be putting ourselves in those situations. Okay. And I know there's a lot of people out there that disagree with me on that, because we talked about it before. And it's, what are you going to do? You know, let them shoot you. That'd be fine. You know, but that's if you have a firearm and you're going to carry it, you got to follow the law. And that's the bottom line. Because if you don't follow the law, then, because the law is on your side as long as you're following the law. You know, and that's what it's all boiled down to. So we got to always stay with that. But that's why I wanted to look at that, because there were some additional reports and nobody else was talking about it. So it was just something I was thinking about. We got about 20 minutes left. Maybe a little less, 15 minutes maybe. So give me a call, 515-602-9731. Let me know what you're thinking about and what you got going on. I'm just sitting here, and we'll keep it going. Go check us out, redneckandeyes.com. Go thank all our great sponsors, Trucker Tools. Check them out at truckertools.com, or download their app from your app store. That's Trucker Tools. We appreciate their support of Redneck and Eyes. So hang tight. We'll see you guys in a little bit.
Hey, man, come on. 6 o'clock news is somebody's been shot. Somebody's been abused. Somebody blew up a building. Somebody stole a car. Somebody got away. Somebody didn't get too far. Yeah, they didn't get too far. Grandpappy told my pappy back in my days long, a man has an answer for the wicked thing he done. Take all the rope in Texas, find a tall old tree, round up all of them bad boys, hang them high in the street for all the people to see. That justice is one thing you should always find. You gotta saddle up your boys, you gotta draw a hard line. Let the gun smoke settle, we'll sing a victory tune, and we'll all meet back at the local saloon. We'll raise up our glasses against evil forces, singing whiskey for my men, beer for my horses. We got too many gangsters doing dirty deeds.
Too much corruption and crime in the streets.
It's time the long arm of the law put a few more in the ground.
Let them all to their maker and he'll settle them down.
You can bet he'll settle them down. Cause justice is the one thing you should always find. You gotta saddle up your boys, you gotta draw a hard line.
When the gun smoke settles, we'll sing a victory tune, and we'll all meet back at the local saloon.
And we'll raise up our glasses against evil forces, saying whiskey for my men, beer for my horses. Whiskey for my men, beer for my horses.
You know, justice is the one thing you should always find. You gotta saddle up your bones, you gotta draw a hard line.
When the gun smoke settles, we'll sing a victory tune, and we'll all meet back at the football saloon.
We'll raise up our glasses against evil forces, singing whiskey for my man, beer for my horses.
We'd like to thank one of our supporters, DPF Regeneration. The folks at DPF Regeneration have always looked out for truckers. Today's technology in big trucks has gotten more and more complicated, especially when it comes to those particulate filters. DPF filters need to be serviced, cleaned, and sometimes replaced, and DPF Regeneration handles it all. They have the knowledge, the network, and the inventory to get what truckers need to stay out on the road making money. Give them a holler at 800-634-3010, or check them out at www.webakem.com. Plain and simple, DPF Regeneration.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Hey, welcome. This is Ed with Renick and I's Radio. You can give us a call, 515-602-9731. Appreciate everybody joining along. We're going to end in on a pretty funny note here. Got a little article I wanted to read to y'all. It's from the Truckers News, truckersnews.com. It says, trucking researchers launch survey on marijuana legalization impact. The American Transportation Research Institute today said it has launched a survey seeking motor carrier feedback input on the impact of marijuana legalization on the trucking industry's workforce. This research was identified as a top priority in 2022 by the ATRI's Research Advisory Committee and will expand on the ATRI's 2019 study on the impacts of marijuana legalization on roadway safety. Motor carrier staff and executives familiar with driver recruitment, retention, and drug testing practices and trends are asked to share their input through the online survey. ATRI said this research will provide insight into the specific challenges motor carriers face as the use of recreational marijuana grows in the U.S. The findings should also provide insight into approaches the industry can take to address these challenges. ATRI's surveys comes on the heels of a new data showing nearly 41,000 truck drivers tested positive for marijuana in 2022, a 32% increase over 2021, according to information from the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration's Drug and Alcohol Clearinghouse. It says the new report shows more than 100,000 truck drivers have tested positive for marijuana since the FMCSA opened the clearinghouse in 2020. Truck drivers who test positive for marijuana and other drugs are prohibited from driving and must enter a return-to-work process to retest and get back behind the wheel. States are moving quickly to legalize recreational marijuana use, said Fred Fakima, Vice President of the Safety and Compliance at Zonar Systems and Chairman of the American Trucking Association Law Enforcement Advisory Board. This rapid change directly impacts fleets and their workforce. ATRI's research will help qualify these impacts. It says recreational use of marijuana is legal in 21 states, Washington, D.C., and Guam. Marijuana for medical purposes is legal in 38 states. However, marijuana use is still banned for those holding a CDL. RTI's confidential survey is available online here and will remain open through March 17th. Online survey, to me, that would be like maybe answering some questions, that kind of thing. It says here, it says ATRI, got their website, trucking. It says truckingresearch.org, impacts of marijuana legalization on trucking industry survey. And it says motor carrier staff and executives familiar with driver recruiting, retention, and drug testing compliances and trends are asked to share their input on the survey. This timely research will provide insight into the specific challenges motor carriers face as the use of recreational marijuana grows in the U.S. The findings should also provide insight into approaches the industry can take to address these challenges. Click here to take the survey, online survey. Click here to download a PDF of the survey. You may write in your responses and mail them and email it to this address. Or contact Jeffrey Short. Any questions? So what I was doing was seeing, okay, so what's your role in the trucking industry? And it doesn't have anything to do with driver. I mean, at the bottom it says, so the question answers, what is your role in trucking? And it says motor carrier human resources, motor carrier safety, motor carrier training education, motor carrier dispatch, driver manager, or driver recruiting, motor carrier president, CEO, or EVP or whatever. It says motor carrier legal. Then it says motor carrier others, please specify. So what I was going to say was that I'll put in there driver. It says what sector do you primarily work, truckload, less than truckload, flatbed, tanker, tanker hazmat, tanker non-hazmat, oversized, overweight, intermodal, and of course it's got all of them. Then it says other, please specify. It says approximately what percentage of your driver's trips are in the following length of haul categories. It says local pickup and deliveries less than 100 miles, regional pickup and deliveries 100 to 500, interregional pickups between 5 and 1,000, national pickups and deliveries 1,000 plus. Says, how many CDL holders does your company employ? Says, what percentage of the company's drivers are based in states where recreational marijuana is legal today? And it's got the whole, like all the states where it's got it listed. And I guess it says, what percentage of your company's drivers are based in states where recreational marijuana is legal today? See green states in map below. All the southern states, it's illegal for recreational use at Missouri, Illinois, Virginia, looks like Maryland and Delaware. No, well, Delaware is not even on here. Looks like Maryland and Virginia. West Virginia is no. And, of course, everywhere up in the Northeast except for New Hampshire, New York, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, Rhode Island, Maine, Michigan is one of them. And then, actually, it's pretty funny because you go out west and recreational marijuana is legal in Washington, Oregon, California, Nevada, Arizona, New Mexico, Colorado, and Montana. So if you're looking at the West, Utah, Wyoming, and Idaho are the only two states that are not. Alaska is legal. Hawaii is not. But you can draw a straight line up north, Texas, Oklahoma, Kansas, Nebraska, the Dakotas, not legal for recreational use. So I'm going to finish this survey, and I'll bring it back tomorrow with some details. What I can do is maybe print out the PDF and see. But this, I mean, to me, so what I will say is that, you know, I think the biggest thing that I would say about truck driving and marijuana is the ability to, you know, like, okay, so I'm not a smoker, so I'm not going to smoke it. I don't think I'll ever do that. Okay. But there are edibles, you know, things like that. And a lot of times you go to, you know, a lot of functions or get togethers or whatever, and people are sharing the little candies or whatever. And then you can go to certain places where they have the CBD. Now, we're being told, I'm being told by my company that even the CBD stuff could pop up on the test. So that's my biggest concern. I think if we got people popping positive, so if you're a driver out there and you're popping positive because you say, well, I use the CBD cream or I use the oil and I take pills or whatever that have the CBD for, you know, to help me, you know, whatever. And it popped positive. You know, I mean, some people say it doesn't. Some people say it does. The companies that I work for all have said it could and it will. So I avoid all that. So what I would like to do is just say that, you know, if they could test for a level, like it's at a certain level, and if as long as you don't, to me, I would never do it while I was working. What I would do is if I went out on Saturday night and I don't go back to work till Monday night, if I were on Saturday night and I had a brownie, it wouldn't cost me my job. You know what I mean? And, you know, I actually do smoke cigars, but you know, cigar smoking is different from any other smoking. And I mean, I can even get a high off of the cigars. So you can, if you sit there and enjoy a cigar with some whiskey, you can definitely get a buzz and get real, real fuzzy and things like that. So to me, I'm assuming that that's what marijuana feels like, but only a little stronger and maybe less nauseous because you do have to, it's not that intense. So I don't know, but this is interesting. And we're going to end on that because that's pretty cool. And I would like to see it because I just think that, you know, the drug policy the government has implemented with truck drivers, you mean, even if you have, there is a list of prescriptions you're not allowed to have. I remember there was a couple, husband and wife, they were great, great people. They were owner operators with Swift, and they, I trained the wife and the husband. She got off the road. She was pregnant, so she got off the road, but she still had her driver status, so she was on the list to do a random drug screen. So she came in. She wasn't driving. She was recovering, or she was still at home on maternity leave, whatever, and she did the drug test, and they said, well, you're fired because she was taking some prescription medication or something, and it came up on the test. And her husband was pissed, and I was like, yeah, you're right. I agree. It's stupid, you know? So yeah, it's just crazy things like that happen. So I think that's going to do it for today. Let's see. Here we go. There once was a ship. There you go. Hey, knock it out. So go check us out, redneckandeyes.com. I'm going to be off tomorrow. And I think Tiff's going to sit in for me. Well, I think we switched. That's why I'm here today, and she'll be here tomorrow. But and then I'll be back Friday, and it's business as usual. So check us out, redneckandeyes.com. Everybody, make sure you go subscribe to YouTube channel. You can get their links to that at our website, redneckandeyes.com. And I appreciate all our sponsors as well. That's Load to Ride Transportation, LTRTransportation.com, DPF Regeneration at DPFRegeneration.com. And Trucker Tools, truckertools.com. Appreciate all their support of Redneck and Eyes. So you guys stay safe, stay successful, and keep between the ditches, and we'll see you out there on the road.
Before the boat had hit the water, the whale still came up and caught her, and to the side harping and fought her when she dived down low.
Soon may the wellerman come to bring us sugar and tea and rum. One day when the
tonguing
is done, we'll take our leave and go.
No line was cut, no whale was freed. The captain's mind was not of greed, and he belonged to the whaleman's creed. She took that ship in tow.
Soon may the wellerman come to bring us sugar and tea and rum. One day when the tonguing is done, we'll take our leave and go. Da 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 da. For 40 days or even more, the lane went slack and tight once more. All boats were lost, there were only four, but still that will did go. Soon may the willowman come to bring us sugar and tea and rum. One day when the tonguing is done, we'll take our leave and go. As far as affair, the fight's still on. The lane's not cut and the whale's not gone. The willowman makes his regular call to encourage the captain, crew and all. Soon may the willowman come to bring us sugar and tea and rum. One day when the tonguing is done, we'll take our leave and go. Soon may the willowman come to bring us sugar and tea and rum. One day when the tonguing is done, we'll take our leave and go.
Today's truckers have a lot on their mind. Redneck and I's was founded by truckers to help truckers and others to handle life on the road better. Check them out at redneckandeyes.com. When everything goes wrong and the job still has to get done, you got a Redneck and I's.